Hi, everyone. I'm Terry Savage. Good afternoon, and welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch. Delighted to be sitting in today for John Williams. That means I get more time to talk with you, a whole hour, in fact, to talk about what's going on in the financial markets, the economy, stimulus news. And I have a special guest, my friend from the IRS. Now, how many people can say that? That's all coming up in a little bit. But first, as you just heard on the news, something just happened in the hour before we went on the air. I've been talking about this in my columns and my newsletter. By the way, you can read my columns at terrysavage.com and sign up for my free newsletter. I don't sell anything. I don't endorse anything. I don't sell my newsletter list. I just write a newsletter whenever I'm in the mood, something big is happening, and I want to reach out. So that's all at terrysavage.com, along with a lot of other good stuff. Anyway, my last column and my last newsletter, I was talking about the markets trying to decide whether it should be really happy and excited that the economy is showing signs of growing. I mean, now we've got the vaccine, the widespread distribution. We might be getting through this whole COVID thing. Isn't that great news? Or the market's thinking, should we be worried that the economy is going to overheat? And especially with the likelihood of perhaps another $1.9 trillion stimulus bill. And that all shows up in not only stock prices, but as I mentioned a couple days ago with John, it revolves around interest rates. That's especially that closely watched, everybody says it's a closely watched 10-year Treasury note. You're not watching that every day, but I am. And most importantly, the big global bond trading market is watching this bellwether piece of U.S. debt, 10-year IOUs from the U.S. Treasury. Just a little hindsight, everybody rushed to safety last March and April. When the world was closing down, everybody, I'm talking about global central banks and big international funds and so forth, came rushing in. They bought the 10-year Treasury note. When they're buying, they bid the prices up, and the yield goes down. So the yield went down to 0.5% last spring. And then by year end, it came back up to about 1%. In the last couple of weeks, the yield on the 10-year Treasury actually popped up last week to 1.6%, backed off to 1.4%. Now it's over 1.5%. Now, that's not going to make a difference in your CD rates. That's not why I'm talking about it. I'm talking about it because that 10-year Treasury rate sets the yield on mortgages, and mortgage rates now are at their highest in 9 months. And more importantly, it's a signal to the stock market that there's potentially inflation. And just before we got on air today, Jay Powell, Fed chairman, said, yeah, we know we'll see a little bit of inflation. It's inevitable as the economy opens up. But don't worry about it. We're going to have it under control. It'd have to really stay up there over 2% before we would be tempted to raise rates. The market is bigger than the Fed. The stock market said, rates are going up despite the Fed. And the market has fallen sharply. That tees us up for all our questions and answers today. But when we come back after this break, I want to introduce you to my friend at the IRS, who I talk to kind of regularly, Eric Smith. He's going to come on with us today. I'm going to hit him with what I know are some of your great questions. And if you have particularly an IRS question, now's the time to use our phone or text at 312-981-7200. I'm Terry Savage, and I'll be right back on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Hi, and welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Terry Savage, sitting in today for John Williams. And as I promised, in this first section, we're going to talk to my friend at the IRS. So please let me introduce right now Eric Smith, who is my go-to guy. He's a spokesperson for the IRS. He's always sending out good information. You know how I try to answer your questions, but when I get stumped, he's the guy I go to. Eric, is this your busiest year ever, ever at the IRS?
Well, you know, Terry, you know, people used to always say to me, "Why isn't this your busy time? When is your busy time of the year?" And I say, "Oh, I think it goes from January 1st to December 31st.
Okay. All right. Well, so much new stuff you're doing, because the first two stimulus rounds, and so much new going on. I want to ask you a question, though, before we get to stimulus, because I get lots of emails and blog posts about people still waiting for last year's refunds that they thought they would get when they filed their 2019 tax return, some of them almost a year ago. What's the status with that?
There are some like that, Terry. They're still in the pipeline. In many cases, though, we've started processing those returns, and we may be following up with folks to get more information. You know, maybe there was some issue on that return, but we're working as quickly as we can to try to take care of those 2019 returns, because the 2020s are coming in, and we really want people to have their money.
Now, you know, you can't go online to check the status of your 2019 return. People tell me that they have a lot of problems with it. And all of us have this mental picture of mailbags full of mail filed, you know, not electronically filed, that returns that no, everybody went home from the IRS offices. So are you pretty sure that you've got them all and you're going to find them all? Even some people who send in checks say that their checks weren't cashed.
Well, a lot of the office closures that really impacted the IRS were in the spring. We opened our processing centers as we could as time went along. I think the last of them, the one in Fresno, opened up towards the end of June. And the other thing, Terry, that we've been doing is working to get as many of our employees as possible set up to do to handle returns and do other business remotely. And we've actually migrated thousands of people to remote work. Now, some people were working remotely before, but even more are now, at least some part of the time. Now, if you file electronically, it's actually fairly possible to handle a lot of the processing remotely now. Paper filing, it's a little more challenging, and that's one of the reasons why we really absolutely encourage everybody to choose the speed and convenience of electronic filing. You know, 2018 returns, that's what we have fairly complete information on. About 89% of all returns were filed electronically. But if you look at those that were filed on paper, they actually divided pretty near evenly between folks who, you know, did it the old-fashioned way, prepared their return with a pen or a pencil or whatever, and those that actually did use a piece of tax software. So particularly if you're in that latter group, if you use tax software, why not make this the year that you take the next step and return electronically, number one, and number two, choose direct deposit for your refund.
Okay, I'm going to just ask one more question, because we have, well, let's leave the past behind us now. A lot of people are going to be filing this year in 2020 because, as I've said many times on this show, the only way, if you did not get the $600 in January or didn't get $1,200 initially because they looked at your 2018 return and you maybe earned too much, if you didn't get those, the only way to claim them is on line 30, I've drilled that into everybody, of your 2020 return. And even people who might have been too low income, below the 14,000 level, that didn't have to file, will have to file this year. Could you give me just one quick message on IRS Free File and the VITA program and where you get help? Because we know these people need to file electronically. And many of them, it'll be the first time they filed in years. Give me instructions 101 on how to get someone to help you file electronically to claim your old stimulus.
Well, the simplest way is to go to irs.gov and click on the free file link. And I can't emphasize that too much, Terry. Don't go to some other website, some .com or something else, because you may not be able to get free filing there. You might be able to, but you can't be sure. irs.gov is your only stop for guaranteed free filing. So if you make about $72,000 or less, chances are you will qualify. And anyone who doesn't normally file a return, and that's what you're talking about, Terry, is people who don't normally file a return. That's several million people. If you don't normally file, this is the year to do it. Even if you have no income, you'll likely qualify for a stimulus payment or a recovery rebate credit on your return. You know, as long as you're self-supporting, that's the key. If you're dependent on somebody else, if somebody's claiming you as a dependent, if you're eligible to be claimed as a dependent, you won't qualify. But otherwise, chances are you will. And if you go online and use the free file service, you'll be able to get your money. If you don't feel comfortable doing your own return, there are volunteers available in your community who can help you do your return. We've got a database on IRS.gov where you can look up VITA TCE. Those are the key letters to type into the search box. We have something like 11,000 sites.
That's VITA. That's Volunteers and Tax Assistance, VITA. I want to switch to a caller.
Yeah.
Eric, I said you were going to be on, and I know Mark's been waiting patiently since the start of the show, so let's listen to Mark. What's your question?
My question is this. My employer provides a retirement plan for us that we do not contribute to, only he does, but he did not make a contribution in 2020. Can I take the IRA deduction on my 2020 taxes and put money towards a traditional IRA and take the tax write-off?
Well, it depends. And really it depends on whether you're still considered to be covered by that plan. And it's hard to say for sure from what you said if you're considered to be covered. But when you get your W-2 form, one of the things the employer is supposed to do is determine whether you're covered and do a checkbox on the W-2 to show that you are covered. And, if for whatever reason you're not covered, yes, you can contribute to a traditional IRA. You can actually contribute most likely anyway, but it's a question of whether you can get a deduction for it. And that's really going to be the difference.
Right.
With my age being 63, is it more than $2,000 that I can contribute and take the tax write-off?
Oh, you can contribute. Go ahead, Eric. I've got an expert. Go.
you can contribute up to $6,000 and then an additional amount for being over 50. But the key is whether you're covered. And even if you are covered, if you're there are income limits that where you still can deduct it, and it just depends on where you fall on that scale.
So check the W-2 is what you're saying first.
Yeah, take a look at the W-2 or ask your employer if under their plan you're still considered to be covered, because that may very much depend upon how the plan is structured as to whether you're still considered to be covered.
Great. Thank you very much.
That was great. Okay, that answered
good luck to you.
And we've got Tim. We have time for just one more question. Tim, what's your question? Oh, Pat, I'm sorry.
That's all right. My question is this. We got some information through the mail. We're both on Social Security, although I'm trying to get things done working my way as an independent agent, as a consulting firm. But we got some information that says we got the first stimulus that was sent to our bank, because our Social Security is, our banks. And then the next one we got from the IRS said you're entitled to $600, that you may be entitled to $600. Call this number, and it's all related to the 2018 tax return. Can you guide me in this? It said, obviously, don't give any information out that it was from the IRS. Can you tell me what to do?
Well, normally if you got the first payment, I would think you'd get the second one pretty automatically. As a general rule, that's the way it was working. If for whatever reason you didn't, you can claim the recovery rebate credit, which is what Terry was referring to earlier on line 30 of Form 1040, if you didn't get your second payment or if you didn't get the full amount to which you're entitled to.
Wait, guys. I got a break for news in a minute. Eric, I got one sentence answer from you on this. It looks like there might be another stimulus coming. Is the IRS ready for this in the middle of spring tax season? Are you going to be able to handle it?
Well, we are absolutely getting ready. What's actually going to happen? Congress is still working on that, but certainly if they do enact something, we are going to be ready to go. I'm not sure what the timing is going to look like, but we've been monitoring that situation, and we're going to absolutely do our best.
Thank you, Eric Smith of the IRS, for being with us. We're going to take a quick break for news. The phone lines are open, 312-981-7200. Come back and answer your questions after this. And welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Terry Savage, sitting in today for John Williams, my most fun time answering your questions. Let's just do a quick update. The Dow is down about a little over 400 points now, been down as much as 450. What triggered that? Fed Chairman Powell saying, yeah, there's probably going to be a little bit of inflation. We're not too worried about it. The markets are very concerned about it, though, as you can tell. Interest rates rising and the stock market falling, and the NASDAQ in particular down 284 points today. So an interesting day on Wall Street. The big question, as always, is, so can the Fed control the markets? Is the Fed chairman always right? In my newsletter I sent out last week, I pointed out, oh, my goodness gracious, Alan Greenspan in the early 90s said, I see no recession on the horizon just before one happened. And remember when he warned about irrational exuberance as Fed chairman? The market continued on for three more years till the dot-com crash. And even Ben Bernanke said in 2007, I still see a recession coming, which, of course, you remember 2008, 2009, that recession. So the question is, who's more powerful, the Fed chairman, the Fed board, or the markets? I've always put my money on the markets for being more powerful. Let's take some questions. Janine, you're waiting with a question, I hear.
Thank you for taking my call, Terry. I'm calling from Utah. I'm a listener from far away.
Great.
My question is, my husband passed away in July of last year. Is he entitled to a stimulus? I've heard back and forth they couldn't decide. But yesterday I heard you speak with someone, and it sounded like he would be entitled to a stimulus. He did not get one. I did.
The person who I talked to yesterday, unfortunately, his spouse passed away in the last 2 weeks after the end of the year. So okay. I am going to give you probably a different answer than I gave him. And your filing status, your tax status and everything is determined on the last day of the year. So I would very much doubt you're not going to file a tax return for him for last year because he was not alive, although he might have had income, but you would file an estate tax return for his estate if that was the case. And you should consult a tax professional if he had a lot of income before he passed away. But actually, I do not believe that he would be entitled to a stimulus. These questions have arisen mostly for people who pass away after the end of the year. And as you heard yesterday, there's a lot of debate on whether the IRS can pay them out, or they've gotten pretty good about checking the death records now, and whether they could call them back. And I'm sorry for your loss, and I'm very glad you listened all the way from Utah. Thank you for being on the air with us, Janine. Okay?
Thank you.
We're going to move on.
I enjoy you very much.
Thank you. And good wishes to you moving forward. Peg, you're on the air. You've got a question?
Good morning, and thank you. And I do appreciate your website. What we've done, I went there and did the checking, and I was credited with being on the 218 tax information that I should have gotten the stimulus, never did. In 219, I got married. So our 219 taxes were obviously different than mine single as the year before. Mm-hmm. Would that have stopped the stimulus, or would that still mean that even this year now we can get that credit on our taxes?
Okay, so here's the big question. None of that matters from the past. That was in the first go-round, which seems like another lifetime, but it was actually not even quite a year ago. The only thing now that matters for collecting stimulus is going to be your 2020 return, which you are about to file. And
right.
We're talking now about the original 1200 and the new 600, not anything coming up, okay? And
no,
that will depend when you're going to pay.
No,
you can't go back now to 2018 and say you missed me because 2018, I was single then and I would have qualified. They're not doing that. All you can do now for stimulus checks that you didn't get before is ask for them on your 2020 return. So you don't have to answer out loud, but do you think you and your husband will fall below $150,000 on this joint return?
Close.
So you're going to file for 2020.
Right. Okay.
Will you be below 150?
It'll be close.
It'll be close. If you are below 150 in adjusted gross income, and I want you to follow electronically, and I think because it's going to be close, you're going to want to get a tax expert to help you do this filing. Then you can each claim the, did he get the original stimulus, by the way, the $1,200?
No.
Okay, then you can each file for both the original $1,200 and the $600 on line 30 once you get professional tax help if you're close on the income, okay? And I wish you good luck on that, but that's the only way you can get it.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. You know, we have a bunch of questions that were sent in by text. Let me look at a couple of these. Terry, this is from the 262, someone in Wisconsin. Would the $1,400 stimulus payment go to the adult dependents themselves or the parents? This is a question about the next stimulus payment, the one Congress is working on. Now, the question is, if there is a $1,400 stimulus payment, which it looks like there will be, and because this time around they have said that they will pay a dependents, like many people declare their elderly parents as dependents, and they didn't get the stimulus check for them because they were over 17. But this time they say every child and even adults that are dependents will get a check. The question here is, will it go to the adult dependents themselves or to their parents' caregivers? That is a great question. I promise once the bill is signed, I will get an answer from that, probably from my good buddy Eric Smith at the IRS. We don't know yet how the wording will be on the next stimulus when it comes out. It might be a guess that if you declare someone as a dependent, I would guess that maybe it will go to the named person on the return and not the dependent, because, you know, they're going to be sending out $1,400 checks to little Jimmy, who's 9 years old. So I'm going to guess, but we won't know for sure until we see the wording, that that stimulus payment would go to the adult taxpayer. And let's move on to Coralie. Coralie, you're on the line. What's your question?
Hi. Yes, I am in a dilemma here, and my husband, he went into a facility right now. They took over his guardianship and took away my power of attorney. And I don't know how this happened in June, where he went off by himself. He filed for divorce, and he's been a character ever since. And finally, the state took over his guardianship and took away my power of attorney and everything. And I don't know how to file my taxes this year, if I should do a joint or if I should do a separate and married, because the divorce didn't go final yet. So I'm in a dilemma.
You know what? I'm going to have to think about this, because I don't want to give you a flip answer. It sounds like you've had the world's most horrible year. I know your name. So would you send me an email to terry@terrysavage.com and let me do a little research on that, Coralie, because I want to make sure I give you the right answer. And so let's, on that moment, let's take a break and go
okay,
to
Terry,
Steve.
What? T-E-R-R-Y or I-E?
Terry, T-E-R-R-Y at Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, S-A-V-A-G-E.com. I stay up late at night. I prefer you post, everybody else post on my blog at terrysavage.com, ask Terry. Let's take a quick break now and go to the Wintrust Business Minute with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Mercy Hospital in Chicago may not close after all. Mercy has entered into a non-binding agreement with Insight Chicago to buy the historic Southside Hospital just months before it was scheduled to shut down permanently. Insight Chicago plans to operate Mercy as a full-service acute care hospital if the deal is approved by regulators. Mercy announced its controversial plan to close last summer. It was set to merge with three other Southside hospitals, but that plan fell through due to a lack of state funding. Delivery startup GoPuff is opening its 12th micro-fulfillment center in the Chicago area in DeKalb as the company expands service to more suburbs. Founded in 2013, GoPuff delivers thousands of items from convenience stores, pharmacies, and other local retailers. It boasts 30-minute delivery from its micro-fulfillment centers with a delivery fee of $1.95. An additional fee of $2 is added for orders containing alcohol. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
And welcome back. I'm Terry Savage, sitting in for John Williams just for today, taking your calls and questions. Let me hit a couple of them that came in on the text, an 847 text. If I'm retired, collecting a pension and Social Security, can I open a Roth IRA? You can open a Roth IRA at any age, but it has to be, you have to have earned income, at least up to the amount you're contributing. So with Social Security and pension, that's not earned income. Unless you have a job or some other kind of 1099 income, you cannot open an IRA. Another one from the text line, 224. I received PUA, that's unemployment for self-employed, but I haven't received, you're saying a W-2, but you mean a 1099 form. Where do I go to get it? Supposedly, at the IDES website, you are able to log in, use your claimant number, and get your 1099-G, which is the amount they say they paid you. It will also note any withholding. If you can't do that, what I suggest you do is estimate based on your records of how much you were paid and estimate on how much it was withheld. Put that in your tax form when you file your 2020 return, and you will be off for sure. It won't match up. And then the IRS will contact you, and you'll say, I'm sorry, I just couldn't. I never got a 1099-G, and I couldn't file the accurate number. We'll be happy to discuss this with you. They're going to be very busy at the IRS for getting even another stimulus. And now our producer, Pete, thank you, Pete, for making this so easy, says that Paul's been hanging on the line for a while. So, Paul, what's your question?
Yeah, I have a question in regards to State of Illinois and IRS. I had a tax lien put on my Social Security number for $75,000 from the State of Illinois. Last year, I had a meeting with the Illinois Tax Tribunal, a hearing, and it was shown that I did not owe that money, and it was removed, and I have it signed by, you know, a judge from the Illinois Tax Tribunal. Well, in 2018, the IRS kept my refund for that reason. How do I get that refund back?
I would say there's, I don't have it right in front of me, but there is an IRS tax ombudsman for Illinois. So just Google IRS tax ombudsman. And call that number because they are designed to help you with problems like this. They're not going to help people who haven't got their refunds yet. But this is that kind of a problem where you need to talk to someone who can help. And the IRS Tax Ombudsman's office would be the place to go. The toll-free number. Okay?
Tax Ombudsman?
Ombudsman. O-M-B-U-D-S-M-A-N. Let me just see if I can get it here for you on my computer. Ombudsman. Wait a minute. Okay, let's see if I can find it for you. Okay, the Taxpayer Advocate's Office is what it's called now. Sorry, that's an old-fashioned term. And the Taxpayer Advocate is what you're going to look for. And let's just see if I can grab this number for you. It's so hard to deal with the IRS as we had our spokesman here talking about it. But you're going to have to, I don't have the toll-free number, but just Google IRS Taxpayer Advocate Service. Okay, there are local advocates all over the country. Thank you very much. I couldn't give you that exact number in the middle of all this. And next on the line, we have Mike, I believe. Or is this Maurice? I'm sorry. Maurice, what's your question? Oh, Mike. Okay, Mike, what's your question?
Hi, Terry. Quick question. So me and my wife, thank God, we did better in 2020 on our earnings. I was talking to my tax guy. Should we hold off doing our taxes? Because we received the stimulus from the 2019. But if we do the 20, since we made a little more, we won't get the stimulus. Should we hold off until this gets resolved?
I don't think that's going to work.
Okay.
I don't think that's going to work. First of all, did you get the $600 in January?
Yes.
You did already? Okay.
Yes.
So the only thing that's going to be impacted is this potential $1,400 person plus your kids stimulus that could be voted out of Congress in the coming weeks. I don't even have to guess at this. That's going to require your 2020 tax return. So if there's a way you can, it's a little late now, but you didn't know there was going to be another one coming. If you could have delayed a bonus payment to the following year, or when you file, you can find some more deductions that qualify against your adjusted gross income, then you'll get that. But if the way it's looking now, if your income is much above $150,000, you won't get much of a stimulus, if any at all. And there's not much you can do about that now. They're not going off your 2019 return, that's for sure, for the next round.
All right, so they'll be waiting for a lot of people to do their taxes just to see how they turned out before
they get the stimulus. Yeah, I'm quite sure that they're going to, we're so close now, this won't even get passed for another week or two. I'm sure they're going to wait and say, yep, we're going to pay it out. But unless we know you're on Social Security or we can tell that you're way under, they'll probably wait to get your 2020 tax return. So it's nice to have a great accountant who can fool around with the numbers, and good luck to you on that. But I'm sure it's going to be based on 2020 income. So,
thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for calling in, all of you. Let me see if I have a few more questions here. Let's see. Let's just look. I'm trying to look online while I'm talking to you. Maurice is there. Okay, thank you, Pete.
Yeah.
Maurice is there waiting.
Terry? Terry, can you hear me? Yeah, okay.
Yep, I do.
Here's my question. Okay, I am over the age of 59 and a half. I'm now 60. And I know you're going to cringe when I ask you this question, but I just want to know it for my own personal reasons, the rules regarding if I wanted to take some money out of my thrift savings plan because I work for the Postal Service. Now, they waived the 10% penalty because I'm over the age of 59 and a half. But my question is, if I want to take, maybe not that I would, take about $20,000 out, and they tax me for that. That's good. But when I receive the 1099 for next year, will I be taxed again when I file?
Oh, did they? You're asking if they withhold taxes,
Will I be taxed on the money? I know they're going to take 20% out once I take the withdrawal out. But the following year, when I do my income taxes, when I receive a 1099 for that money, will my tax preparer, when he does that, will I have to pay again?
Well, so let's just say that next year you're making $200,000 and you're in the 39% tax bracket or something like that, and they only withheld 20%. You will owe more taxes. But if you're not in a higher tax bracket next year, if they've under withheld a little bit, you might have to pay taxes on a little bit of it, but you will get a credit for the withholding when you file your tax return. But you know you were going to cringe because I was going to say to you, you want that money to keep growing tax deferred. And unless you're paying like 29% on credit cards, and this is a chance to wipe that out, I would suggest you strongly suggest you leave the money right there in the plan. Okay?
Oh, yes, I am going to. I just wanted to know what the rules are because so many people I work with are doing exactly that. They're paying credit cards.
Okay, well, Maurice, let it grow. But and if they withhold, you'll have a credit for the withholding, and then they'll do your whole tax form. And if you owe some taxes, it won't be much if you haven't got into a much higher tax bracket. I can't believe that we are now pretty much down to the end of the show. I want to thank Pete Zimmerman, my producer, who's done a great job of helping me through this, and all of you who call in. I want to remind you, you can go to terrysavage.com, TerrySavage.com, post questions on my Ask Terry blog, read the articles about identity theft, things that you should do, and a lot of other helpful information. It's been a great time sitting in for John Williams. I know you'll welcome him back too, though.